Brethren, in recent weeks, we've had some wonderful sermons, inspired sermons. We've been blessed with them. We've been blessed with sound instructions as to the origin of creation, of the heavens and of the earth. At a time when the angels shouted for joy at observing the great power and majesty of the Eternal One. We were also instructed about the recreation of the earth after it had become void. The creation of man we were instructed about, and then the Holy Sabbath. We are here, brethren, on this Sabbath day at God's invitation, at God's command. It is holy time. We are here to be instructed by God about wisdom and its value to our eternal existence. Therefore, we must increase in wisdom from Sabbath to Sabbath. That is God's desire, that we increase our contact with Him and increase our wisdom until we become perfect in wisdom, just as He is. The title of the sermon today is Wisdom and Opinions. Wisdom and opinions. Let us turn, brethren, by turn to Proverbs chapter 4 for our first scripture, Proverbs 4 and verse 7. Proverbs 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. These two characteristics of God are very, very important. One is termed the principal thing. There's nothing else in this whole wide world as important as this principal thing, wisdom. Our whole existence came into being as a result of wisdom. Let's turn to Proverbs 8. And verse 11. Proverbs 8 and verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. There's nothing really as valuable as wisdom. It is far more precious than silver or gold. It is priceless. It is matchless. The value is very great. Let us look at Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10 and verse 12. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom. We are here as a result of God's wisdom, and have stretched out the heavens by his discretion. So the whole world is a result of God's wisdom. Wisdom was there. Let us look at Psalm 136 and verse 5. Psalm 136 and verse 5. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. So we've seen he's made the world, he's made the earth, he's made the heavens. It was wisdom that God possessed that brought forth the plan to create the angels. It was with wisdom that God created the heavens and the earth. It was with wisdom that God created the plants and animals, the fish, and all human. Wisdom is the principal thing. Let us look at Psalm 111. Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all there that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So this is where it all starts. Wisdom starts with a fear of the eternal God. It is just the start, not the finishing. It's the start. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endure forever. This is where you and I start. This is the beginning of our instruction in wisdom. This is the beginning of our seeking wisdom. Wisdom must never be confused with common sense. Wisdom is not common sense. Let us look at Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We must hate evil in order to start on that journey of being instructed in wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By main kings reign and princes decree. Just decree justice. By main princes rule and know nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. This is wisdom. Seeing as though it's a person. I love them that love me. So if we love wisdom and seek wisdom, there will be a contact. and those that seek me early shall find me. It is desirable to seek wisdom very early in life. Not when we are old, there's a practice. When I was growing up too, it was very common for people to wait until they were old. And then after they could hardly walk, they would go and say, well, I'm going to serve God. But wisdom and the service of God should start at the earliest possible age. Once we understand the value of wisdom, we will see why we should not go through any part of our lives without wisdom and without contact with God. Because by the time we are finished, there's so many mistakes that will be made that we will regret not having access to wisdom. And wisdom is saying, I love them that love me. Doesn't discriminate. Once you love wisdom and you seek wisdom, you shall find it. Riches and honor are with me. This is the result of having wisdom. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Sometimes they are not riches that can be counted with a money value. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. So we are seeing here that wisdom was always a possession of God, always in the company of God. There was not a time when wisdom did not exist. Wisdom didn't come into being. God had wisdom at all times. At all times. It's always there. It's a part of his being. His character did not develop wisdom. The Lord possessed me in the beginning. We just read how all the works were created in wisdom. It means that wisdom was there before them.
What do you hand up?
I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Way before the earth was, wisdom was there. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. I was exhibited when there were no depths, no sea, or anything physical. There were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was exhibited, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I, wisdom, was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depths, wisdom was there. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, wisdom was there. When he gave to the sea his decree, that the water should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing, always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. So this is the wisdom that God used to plan, to create, to bring into being. All of it was done in wisdom. Nothing. There wasn't anything that God didn't create in wisdom. The spirit of wisdom was eternally in the possession of God, the God family. It is impossible to separate wisdom from the throne of God. It's always there. And his wonderful works of creations cannot be separated from it, from wisdom. Wisdom is indeed the principal thing. And even our young children and all the young ones should be instructed to possess this quality of wisdom. But what is wisdom, brethren? What is wisdom? Where can we get wisdom from? Does the source of wisdom reside in the earth? Can we make a trip to some faraway, secluded, exotic land in search of wisdom? In search of some bearded one that possess wisdom? Somewhere maybe in the east? Can travel to and find the source of wisdom? After all, brethren, did not the wise men travel from the east? Maybe their wisdom came from somewhere in that region. Wisdom and understanding are characteristics that the God family continuously engage in every single thought, every single plan, every single action. The result is perfect thought and action. God possesses perfect righteous character, and he wants his children to possess the righteousness that wisdom will guide us into. The same wisdom that he uses, he is willing to give to us. We have access to that wisdom that he has used from the beginning. Folly is an abomination to our God. There's no folly within. Always wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Every word that God hates, we can look at them and you will see that they are void. They are void of wisdom. Wisdom is lacking. They lack understanding. Anything that God hates, you will find that there's no wisdom associated with it. We are encouraged to put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Lips that are habitually stubborn. Lips that are habitually rebellious. Lips that seeks to express those things that are ungodly. Scriptures shows us that there are six things that God hates that you will not find associated with one who has wisdom. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. A proud look. Even to look proud. Not even to exhibit pride. Proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. There's nothing like a lying tongue. A lying tongue, a deceptive tongue, is what caused our Savior's death. Lies. And those that shed innocent blood, those that sit down and plan to kill someone that is not worthy of death. Has that shed innocent blood? And right offhand, we could think of one case in the scriptures where a man possessed a plot of land, and the king, King Ahab, so wanted that piece of land that he decided to destroy the possessors of that land. He decided to kill innocent Naboth and some of his family as well. And her that deviseth wicked imaginations. People that invent wicked things to do harm. Feet that are swift to run to mischief. People that who find pride, who find joy in doing evil instead of finding good, productive work to do. A false witness that speaketh lies. He that soweth discord among brethren. A false witness. Put the blame on someone that is innocent. It's one of the greatest abominations that you could think of. It is better to let someone that you believe is guilty of some wrongdoing go free than to trump up a charge against him. That is far more wicked than anything that he has done. It's an abomination. And he that soweth discord among brethren. I remember, brethren, Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's as precious, it's as unique as wisdom. So that is written to brethren, those who consider themselves family, let it be Israelites, it's family, but more so to us who are brethren, spiritual family. Even far more important, beware. Never ever cause discord among God's people. It's not worth it. It's not wise. Think carefully before it is done. We won't want that on our shoulders. Encourage unity instead of discord. It's an abomination to sow discord and harbor ill feelings among our brethren. It must not be done. Then if it is done, it is done in the absence of wisdom. Wisdom is lacking. The principal thing is not there. One important lesson in the book of Job is that God watches us. And he listens to us very attentively as we speak to each other. Sometimes it is easy to believe, especially when we are praying to God for something, that he doesn't care, that he doesn't hear. He hears. He hears everything. And when Job was speaking, God was listening. when the friends were advising, when the friends were condemning Job, God was listening. But they were not merely aware of the intent, the intention, the attentiveness that God was paying to what they were saying. But at the end of the discussion, God had determined judgment. Who had spoken the right thing? Who had spoken the wrong thing? Who had encouraged his servant? And so on. It was then decided because God was listening. And God listens to every word that we say. We are important to Him. And that is where wisdom comes in. Every time we open our lips, should strive to bring forth wisdom. Wisdom. It is not a sin, brethren, to have our opinion. You're free because God has made us, like Mr. Armstrong taught us years ago, free moral agents. And we can have opinions. But there's something that comes over in the scriptures that is different to the opinions that we hold. And our opinions must come in line, brethren, with God's word. Sometimes you hear the term, but that is your opinion. Could be very disrespectful to a child of God to say, well, that is his opinion. Because as far as we know, the word opinion simply means that it lacks fact. So unless you're able to tell a brother, correct a brother properly or sister, and tell them what is the right fact, then be very careful to telling them about that is their opinion. Because we do not have the luxury of having our opinion. Not from the scriptures. Yes, maybe in the society we think so. But we don't have the luxury of having any opinion. Yes, an opinion. But our opinion is different to the world's opinion. Our opinion have parameters. And that is where wisdom comes in. Whenever we speak, and whenever a brother speaks, we should assume that God is being led or she is being led by God's Spirit. So be very careful. When we think that an opinion is expressed, that we call it not fact. We have to be quite careful about that. The men of God and women of God speak for correction and for edification. Those are the two major factors that we use when we speak. Either to correct someone or to enlighten. Never to discourage them with a separation from God. That they are not godly. When our brethren form an opinion, they just cannot form the opinion that they would like to form. Let us turn to Job 32 and verse 6. Job 32 and verse 6. A very fine example of an expression of opinion in the scriptures. And we should follow this one. Job 32 and verse 6. And Elihu, the son of Bershal, the Buzzite, answered and said, "I am young, and ye are very old." He was in the presence of older men. And he waited. In comes wisdom. Wisdom allows you to know when to speak, what to speak, when silence is golden. That is where wisdom comes in. And he used wisdom because he was going then to give them a whole lesson in wisdom. Why they were not speaking wisely. That's what it's all about. I am young. And for you young people, it is so important to have wisdom at an early age. There's a young man that is telling the older folk that they were not speaking wisely. So he could only do that because he had mastered wisdom. He knew what was wise, what he should say, when he should say it. He didn't speak before the old people. He waited till they were finished because he was of the belief that age, a respect for age, that when you age, you should mature in wisdom and godliness. And that is a good way of looking at our brethren. If you were in the church long, I can't assume that you haven't grown. I would rather assume that you've increased in godliness, because that is what age should bring about, a perfection. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion. He has an opinion. In verse 6, we are continuing. And now verse 7. I said, days should speak. A multitude of years should teach wisdom. The older you get, the wiser you should be. You don't want to see. It isn't a good sight to see an old person acting the same way that you had known him 30 years ago. I remember a sight that I witnessed in my district like that, and the memory won't leave me as much as I tried. It was the worst. I have rated it the worst experience I have seen. I've known a man when he was young, and when he was old and ready to go into the grave, he was acting the same way as when he was young, doing the same things until he destroyed his family. Maturity should come with age. Wisdom should grow as we serve God. But there's a spirit in man, he said, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. And verse 10. Therefore I said, hearken to me. I also will show my opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I give ear to your reasons while ye search out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you. Listen carefully. And behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answered his words. None was able to comfort Job. None was able to answer him in the right manner. This is a young person. And this is a lesson for our young people. It is good to have wisdom at an early age. Male and female. Lest he should say, we have found out wisdom. God trusteth him down, not man. Our God expects us to exhibit wisdom when we say us, we refer to every father, every mother, every son, every daughter in all our actions, for this is the only procedure that the God family consistently uses. Wisdom. Every action, every thought is wise. They don't alternate. They don't say, well, maybe I will do a little folly now and come back on track. No. It's wisdom, wisdom, wisdom at all times. And we, as God's people, must try to emulate this consistency. A lot of harm will happen to us if we alternate, if we don't take wisdom as the principal thing at all times. Just that little breaking away, that little shunning aside wisdom could do damage that could hardly be repaired. And his spirit of wisdom will never depart from us. Just as it resides with God, it will reside with us in the future, when we are spirit beings, and we will think with wisdom, we'll speak with wisdom, we'll also act with perfect wisdom. Wisdom will always be a companion of God's children. We can't shed it. We can't get rid of it for all eternity. Wisdom will be our companion. And we have to embrace it. It must be embraced. It must be loved. It must be cherished. It is a friend. To our young children who are sitting in our congregations, your parents want you to experience the best life. I don't think that there's a parent that would not want good life, a happy life for his or her child. They want you to be instructed, you young ones, to be instructed in wisdom early and right living. They want you to have a long, enjoyable life that is prosperous and sheltered from the evils and pitfalls that is in our society around us. The one who bears folly does not wait to a particular age to introduce that folly. And that folly does a lot of damage in our young years. Wisdom is the only attribute that we have that could fight that off, stave that off, that damage that will be done when we do not exhibit wisdom. To all of the young who are viewing online, this also applies to you. God's will is that young people embrace wisdom. And we have a lot of examples of young men and women in the scriptures who embrace wisdom at an early age. Sometimes when we look around at our society, we see many young ones who are participating in activities that leads them into destructive behavior, that brings sorrow. It seems sometimes that we are missing out on those pleasures, but we're not missing out on anything. We're not missing out on any pleasures. We are being shielded from destruction. Sometimes we witness that type of life that brings sorrow, hardships, and regret, both mental and financial hardships. Sometimes respected, influential societal leaders spearhead the promotion of activities that are very harmful to young people in the future. We look around and we see the acceptance of certain things being paraded in our society, being paraded on our streets. And we could feel left out. But harm comes from that behavior that lacks wisdom. Harm and regret. But God wants you young ones, both males and females, to seek wisdom and understanding and follow the instructions of your parent very early. This is a protection for you. Don't let your heart go after what you see going on in our world. We as adults in God's church have to remain focused. There are temptations as well. There's enticement as well. It look attractive. And it tries to shut you out from the society, to make you feel alone. But this enticement comes from the one who is master of folly. The master of folly. And when we look around and we see what is going on, let Job 32 verse 9 comfort us. Job 32 verse 9 states that great men are not always wise. Great men, most of the leaders that we would see in society seem to be thriving, seem to be flying high. They're not wise. Not by God's standard. They're not wise people. And that is why our world is in that cycle of dissatisfaction, discontent. Don't let us look at and take example from them. Let us look at Proverbs 1. Brethren, let us turn to Proverbs 1 and verse 8. This is to you young ones. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For there shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. This is what wisdom does for us. My son, in verse 10, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And there's a lot of prayer pressure. There are a lot of sinners that want us, that want the whole world, want to pressure the whole world to not only act, but speak as they do. So the pressure is not only on you young ones, it's also on us. The pressure is there. And we must hold fast to wisdom. We must not be ruled by folly and fools. God is our guide. He is the wise God, and we must follow him. Not by the people of the world who claim greatness, but does unwise things. And the word here is very clear in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive. as whole as the grave. Let's plan against the Christian. We don't like that Bible, and we don't like those Christian ways. They're not applicable to us. So let us destroy those ways and those Christians. And let us change our laws that they have to speak as we do, as we want. That they will turn their backs. They will deny wisdom. And they will turn their backs against their God. We must hold fast to wisdom. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. Do not be enticed, young ones, by sin. My son, we are told to hear the instructions of your father, your mother, your parents, and any godly person. Let us look at Proverbs 8 and verse 17. Proverbs 8 and verse 17. This is wisdom. Speaking and saying, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early. Early. It's not too early for you young ones to seek wisdom. And wisdom comes from the Almighty. Those that seek me early, those that go to the Almighty and request wisdom and request understanding, prayer for it, is going to find it. God does not want fools anywhere around. And he gives truth. He gives knowledge. He gives wisdom. He gives understanding. And he will give. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenues than choice silver. But then, we may say, well, what good? We might ask the question, what good is wisdom to me? At a young age, I'm young, the rest of the world is having what it looks like pleasure. You're having fun. And I'm young and I just want to enjoy life. I don't want to be held back, to be different. But wisdom is beneficial to both young and old. To the young males, the scripture says, it keeps males from an evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, enticement again, to do things that are ungodly. But it goes for men as well. Men use a lot of enticing language to get the female that they desire, and then that's the end of it. Wisdom preserves us from that type of behavior. Wisdom opens up the eyes, and we are able to see when deception is coming our way. God is able to reveal to us when we are engaging in false relationships. Proverbs 7:4 say, unto wisdom, thou art my sister. And call understanding thy kinswoman. So this only shows us the close relationship that we should have with wisdom. See unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Unto understanding, thou art my kinswoman. It says, does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? Yes. Wisdom wants us to come and avail ourselves of the blessings that is available through having wisdom. She cries out in the streets, cries out. She standeth in the top of the high places. Proverbs 8 verse 2, I won't read it. But she standeth in the top of the high places by the way in the places of the paths. And Proverbs 24:7, Proverbs 24 and verse 7 states that wisdom is too high for a fool. There are no fools in here. There are no fools that I know of within my hearing. All of us could respond to the cry of wisdom and avail ourselves of wisdom. Wisdom is not too high for us in here. We are called to wisdom. It is available to us, and we must use it at all times. And to our young ones, you're never too young to avail yourself of wisdom. It is going to allow you to make sound decisions in life. It is going to allow you to know when to speak, when not to speak, how to choose your friends, what to eat, what not to eat. It is going to give you instruction in every single way that you desire. How to conduct yourself. How to get to that stage of honor. That stage of great respect. That is what wisdom does for us. In conclusion, brethren, let us turn to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 6. Keep therefore and do them. Speaking to Israel. Let me start from verse 5 instead. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, and that ye should do in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom. All the commandments that God has given to us, all the statutes, all the various instructions, this is our wisdom. And your understanding in the sight of the nations. Yes, the nations might not agree with our ways at all. But that doesn't mean that we do not have wisdom. This is wisdom. When we follow God's instruction, God's commandments and statutes, which shall hear all these statutes and say, and this is the nations around in the world, after a while, and Israel was settled in the days of Solomon. Kings, wise people, so-called wise of the world, the leaders of the world, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon because his wisdom was different. Different to what they had to offer. Surely this is a great nation. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. That is what God's instruction does for us. When we seek God, when we serve God, He gives us that wisdom that He makes decisions with. Seek diligently for wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Allow wisdom to fashion your opinions. Your opinions should be fashioned by wisdom. Your speech, our speech, should be fashioned in wisdom and our actions. Young people, let your parents' instruction and wisdom determine your speech and your actions, not the ungodly. I need to read one more scripture, brethren, that would answer all the questions that I've asked. One scripture found in Proverbs. Let me see. I have Proverb here, but my memory is telling me that it is Job. Just let me take a look at it. Yes, it is Job. Job 28 and verse 12. Many questions were asked, and this scripture contains the answer to them all. Where wisdom can be found. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. There's no place on the earth that you can go and find, say, well, this is the source of wisdom. So it's not found in the land of the living. Man knoweth not the price thereof, and neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth seeth the sea. All the debt, it is not in me. It's not here. Don't look for it here. Not in the sea. Not in the water. The sea saith, it is not with me. I don't have any. It cannot be gotten for gold. There's no place that you can go on the earth and say, I want to pay the price. Neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It's the principal thing. Has no value. Cannot be bought. It is for us free of charge. But we must seek it. We must pursue it. We must cherish it. Wisdom. Wisdom. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx stone, or the sapphire, or the gold, the crystal, the diamonds, no matter how many there are, cannot equal it. It's priceless. It's the principal thing. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral, of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies, above all riches. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, it is hid. No secret place, country, person to go to in all the earth. You cannot get it there. It does not reside there. Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. Yes, death and destruction have certainly heard of those who did not have wisdom. You've heard the fame there. God understand the way they are, and he knoweth the place they are. For he looketh let's go down to verse 28. He knows the place thereof. And he concludes, and unto man he said, behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Behold the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So these two characteristics are characteristics of the God family that we must have. The fear of the Lord and a close relationship with our God allows us to seek wisdom, to ask him for an increase in our wisdom, and he will provide it. And understanding, wisdom gives us the knowledge that we will be able to determine between what is good and bad, what is right and wrong. And then we are able to depart from evil with that knowledge. Wisdom does that. We need wisdom, all of us, in order to please God, in order to live for all eternity. We must possess wisdom. Cherish wisdom. Maintain wisdom for all times, and it will be well with us all.